just heard about the unbelief of Thomas and his conversion. What is faith?
Belief in something that you cannot see or touch or...
Belief in something that we cannot see or touch. The first part is very good. The second part is on some soil. What else can we say about faith?
The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. This, of course, comes from where? The letter to the Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 1. But there's very good, that it's very good that you quote that passage, because it is the substance, the foundation of things hoped for. It is something concrete. Faith is something concrete that enables us to imagine or hope for the things that we cannot see. In other terms, faith is not wishful thinking. Faith is not something that we simply conjure up in our minds and are attracted to. Faith has a foundation, a solid foundation on which we can hope for the things not seen. Faith is that foundation which enables us, we can even extend St. Paul's definition. Faith enables us, because of this solid foundation, touch, to be in communion with those things we cannot see. Where does faith come from? We are, hopefully this is more than an assumption, we are all Christians here. Are we people of faith?
Yes.
You can either say yes or no, so there's no faith. Our time. If we say yes, where does this faith come from?
The experience of God.
From?
The experience of God.
The experience of God. Yes? Can we say anything else? It is a gift. Let us go with the experience of God. When we say this, and it's been said many times here, what is the thrust of this simple and yet very important, and I would dare to say profound statement?
The relationship.
The relationship. But we have to be even more precise. Yes, it is relationship. Faith is our response to the experience of God. It is our response. God is the one who initiates this relationship with us. Those of us who come to the vigil service every Saturday evening at the matins service, what do we proclaim at the very beginning of matins?
God is the Lord.
God is the Lord and has revealed himself to us. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. God is the Lord who has revealed himself, has made himself known in time and space. God is the Lord and has revealed himself in history. He is the one who initiates the relationship with the one created in his image and likeness. Faith is not something we conjure up. Faith is our response to the experience of God who initiates this relationship with us. Unless we see faith in this way, we end up on very rocky, very treacherous terrain. We place faith itself to be superior over reason. How is this possible? Since we live in a culture, since we live in a time when so much emphasis is placed on the human intellect, the human reason. How is faith superior to reason? Faith is the knowledge of the living God. Faith seeks to enter into the inexhaustible transcendence of the living God. Reason cannot enter into this inexhaustible realm. It cannot embrace it, because the transcendent is contradictory. The transcendent has no parameters. The transcendent is eternal. This is the first crisis. The second crisis is similar. We are confronted with a philosophical wrestling match. Even the philosophers and philosophies that espouse God or deity cannot compete with the reality and the depth of faith. Why? Because these philosophies that espouse God or deity or some kind of system of deism have, in the final result, an impersonal God, a God who is bound to human reason, a God who is bound to human systems, a God who is bound to ethics. Faith in the living God goes beyond all of that. Faith in the living God is not faith in a system, in a philosophy, in an ideology, in a polity. Faith is the experience and the life of the living personal God. This is indeed a difficult place to be in, because when we encounter, when we draw near to the living personal God, we encounter not only the holy transcendent, but we also encounter the one who is beautiful. And I use this term beauty so as to get us all to think about what is beauty. How do you describe beauty? How many have heard this word beauty? So what comes to mind?
That which
derives the senses, yes. Can we say anything else? Now we have poets here, we have Sean Quinn here. When you write or read about beauty in poetry, what comes to mind? Certainly that which delights the senses. But does anything else come to mind?
Proportion. Proportion, balance.
Proportion, balance. Yes.
Things that delight even beyond the physical senses.
Yes.
Delight the mind.
The mind.
Perfection.
The soul.
Divinity.
Can we say anything else?
Divinity.
Divinity.
It's a path to recognizing the divinity and the divinity within us.
Yes. So let's add to that. So we're getting more.
It's more than the senses.
It's more than the senses, but I'm not hearing the word I really want. When we encounter that which is beautiful, someone who is beautiful, when we encounter beauty in its divine or creative form, do we not also encounter that which is powerful and that which is also terrible? Let me use the quote from Rilke. He comes in handy for this. Rilke is speaking about angels. So let's when we say, when we begin to say that we are a people of faith, this faith has a foundation, and that foundation is the living God who has made himself known to each of us, personally and corporately, as the church, as the living body of Christ. Faith is not something easy to accept, and not something easy to develop, not something easy to live, because it is constantly pushing us into the realm of the unknown which is always related to the inexhaustible divinity of the triune and tripersonal God. Faith is difficult and requires courage, because it makes demands on us. It changes us, at least it prods us to change how we see, how we hear, how we understand, how we perceive. This places us always in a difficult position, because the standard is no longer myself, is no longer my evaluation, my use of reason. Faith brings us to a level of knowledge that surpasses reason. It brings us to a level in which we have the opportunity to encounter the living God who desires, with great desire for us, to have new and eternal life with him. So when we celebrate this feast of Thomas, we must always remember that his unbelief, his lack of faith, is overcome by his encounter with the living God. Indeed, he sees the living God with his eyes, but as St. Paul says in his second letter to the Corinthians, we who are the post-resurrection church, we walk by faith, not by sight. And in walking by faith, this does not mean that we are blind and that we are stumbling. On the contrary, to walk by faith is to walk that path which leads us deeper and more intimately into the life of the living personal God. Finally, again and again, we must remember that faith is initiated by God himself. Christ tells his disciples in his last discourse of the gospel,